5:20, and this is the KDLL Evening News for Monday, November 24th on 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up, Alaskans share their tips for enjoying winter. But first, students at Chapman Elementary School in Anchor Point were evacuated Monday morning after a gas smell was reported on campus. Assistant Superintendent Carrie Denderant says the problem began when a gas valve in the science room was inadvertently opened, causing staff to report the odor to the principal. The fire alarm was pulled, and fire crews and Star Natural Gas and Kenai Peninsula Borough Maintenance all responded. Students and staff evacuated safely to Greatland Church next door at around 10:15 a.m. Denderant says the district quickly moved to ensure everyone was cared for during the disruption.
It was determined that school would remain in session and they would continue being at Greatland Church for the rest of the day, so lunch was provided to students from Homer High School.
After NSTAR inspected the building, they also disconnected and capped unused gas lines in the science rooms as an added precaution. Denderant says families were notified through Facebook and PowerSchool Messenger as the response unfolded. An all-clear was issued around 11:20 a.m. The district says classes will resume as normal tomorrow morning, and Principal Heidi Stokes will send follow-up information to families. The company spearheading the proposed Alaska Gas Line project estimates it needs around 7,000 workers at peak construction of the 800-mile pipeline. Glenfarne Group, the project's majority owner, hasn't committed to developing the project yet, but ahead of that decision, officials outlined anticipated workforce needs earlier this month. Developers were presenting to the Alaska Workforce Investment Board. That's the state group that reviews plans and provides recommendations to the state to prepare Alaskans for the workforce. Multiple board members say 7,000 workers is a tall order. If it's built, the Alaska LNG project would treat natural gas on the North Slope, move it through a roughly 800-mile pipeline to South Central, and then liquefy and export it from Nikiski. Glenfarne is prioritizing the construction phase that's specifically to build a pipeline for in-state natural gas use. Rex Cannon is the president of 8-Star Alaska LLC. That's the entity managing the project under Glenfarne and the State Gas Line Development Corporation. He says the company envisions multiple work camps along the project footprint as the pipeline is being constructed.
It's divided into four different construction spreads, which would mean essentially four different sets of equipment and four different large crews. And by dividing it up that way, that's how we can move. We essentially build each spread on a simultaneous basis to expedite the schedule.
Cannon says Glenfarne is also doing what it can to prioritize in-state labor. He says they've got an internal directory of more than 200 Alaska businesses that could provide goods or services on the project. The company has also met with relevant labor unions to talk about work contracts. And when it comes to workers, the needs are in industries you might expect. 1,900 engineers, 1,600 pipe fitters and welders, 450 iron workers, 400 electricians, and 3,500 logistics professionals.
There will be a project labor agreement on the pipeline, and that would be an agreement with the four main crafts that are relevant for building pipelines. So it would be the pipe fitters and the welders, the laborers, the operators, and the teamsters.
The members of the State Workforce Board were generally supportive of what the project could mean for Alaska, but several said the state is already strapped for workers. State economists say the pool of working-age adults is shrinking, with seniors and teenagers making up a greater share. Here's board member Patrick Rose.
I think everybody sees a lot of opportunity, and I think a lot of people are excited about a project of this magnitude. There's a lot of shortfalls we already have in workforce in Alaska. That's been a big challenge.
Glenfarne still hasn't actually decided to develop the project yet. Cannon says the company plans to make that go or no-go decision by the first of next year. Since Glenfarne assumed majority ownership of the project from the state earlier this year, the project has picked up a handful of non-binding pledges to buy gas from the project if it's built. Most recently, the company announced a strategic alliance with energy technology company Baker Hughes, Glenfarne wants that company to supply compressors and power generation for project infrastructure on the North Slope. And finally, winter in Alaska is just getting started, and the cold, icy days are here for the next several months. But that doesn't mean you need to struggle through them. For Alaska Public Media's new series, Alaska Survival Kit, Ava White set out to answer one very personal question. Is it possible to truly love the cold? The answer may surprise her.
It's just past 3 o'clock on a Tuesday, and 79-year-old Maggie Wilkinson is leashing up her Sheltie, Mariah.
Yeah, we'll go for a walk. Oh, boy.
We pile in the car and head to one of Maggie's favorite spots for a walk, the Kincaid Sand Dunes in West Anchorage. It's not deep winter yet, but it's chilly, cold enough that I can see my breath. Maggie sizes up my outfit with some concern that, to her credit, may be warranted.
Are you dressed warmly enough?
I'm good.
I'm a lifelong Alaskan, but I hate the cold. This year, though, I want to do more than just tolerate the winter. I want to savor it, or at least find some enjoyment in it. So I asked residents how they've learned to love the Alaska cold, and heard from almost 20 people who said to build snowmen, dress in layers, and keep your body moving. The submission from Grace Burgee stood out. She grew up in Ohio, deeply unimpressed with winter.
I just remember winter being very slushy and gray. And I liked winter as a child. I've always loved Christmas. The rest of it was just sort of a suffer fest.
She moved to Eagle River about 7 years ago, expecting to feel that same blah once winter hit. But instead, she loved it. She says the snow here isn't just tolerable, it's enchanting.
You get that sort of fairy tale effect where it piles up on the evergreens and it's light and fluffy and sparkly and everything gets sort of pastel. And the sunrises are these beautiful pinks and peachy corals.
Grace says if I want to transform my relationship with the cold, I need to embrace those small details in day-to-day life, like the way ice crystallizes and reflects off the sunlight, or the way steam flows off a cup of coffee. Her advice, slow down and embrace the little joys. She also finds ways to keep things fun in the winter.
I think that was part of my winter epiphany, just sort of connecting more to maybe who you are as a person and your creative hobbies, or reconnecting with family and friends and finding things you enjoy doing together.
Talking with Grace made me realize that I've been missing out on the full winter experience for the last 24 years. Maybe I just need to shift my perspective. Back at the Kincaid Sand Dunes, Maggie's taking a page from Grace's playbook, examining one of her favorite trees.
It's like big corduroy. And look at all the personality it has. All the character.
Maggie has always loved the frosty months.
I am really a proponent of winter. I sometimes am irritating about the effusiveness of my joy of winter, as I really do like it.
For her, walking is much more than the movement itself, and she says it's extra soul-nourishing during the long, dark winter months. And her advice is simple. Don't think about whether you want to get outside. Just go for it.
It is mental, physical, spiritual. It's a healing experience.
Another tip from Maggie, don't be afraid to embrace the dark.
Walking in the dark is magical. And walking on the first snowfall, hearing it creak under your feet and knowing you're making the first footprints of the day, I just think the experience is so rich.
We walk for over half an hour. The cold wind on my face turns my nose and ears bright pink.
Don't you feel better?
Yeah, I was literally thinking this is such a great way to end the day.
And I'm not just saying that. So, a week later, I leave work and head to one of my favorite spots in town, the Alaska Zoo. I come here at least once a week. I'm an annual member. Again, I'm underdressed. I take a left, passing the seal, deer, and muskoxen. I see the wolves, Callie and Lena. They're my favorite animals because they run with me. In Anchorage, really cold, but almost enjoying it, I'm Ava White.
This story is part of an ongoing series from Alaska Public Media called Alaska Survival Kit, where we help you to make the most of living in the 49th state. And that'll be all for tonight's KDLL Evening News. We had help from KBBI in Homer and from Ava White in Anchorage. You can re-listen to this newscast and find our other stories online at kdll.org. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Have a great night. Mm-hmm.